We're turning over to the book of St. John, chapter 17. The book of St. John, chapter 17. I'm going to begin reading at verse number 11. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those thou gavest me, I have kept. None of them was lost but the son of perdition, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. Now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy name, thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through thy truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, in me, I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Tonight, I'd like to speak to you on the subject, the truth about the Trinity. The truth about the Trinity. This new issue erupted within the Pentecostal movement in 1914. While it started as a friendly debate over the question of the correct method for water baptism, it quickly developed into a fierce controversy over the nature of the Godhead. The argument in those early days was basically over the effort to reconcile the words of Christ in Matthew 28:19, where our Savior said, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost." To reconcile those words with the words of Peter in Acts 2:38, where Peter said on the day of Pentecost, "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Suddenly, the thing exploded. Those who practiced baptism in the name of Jesus only claimed a special revelation from the Lord, which would result in the correct manner for water baptism. And you might ask, what was that revelation? In effect, it was this. They say that Peter introduced the new baptismal method at the day of Pentecost because, supposedly, the Holy Ghost had revealed unto him that the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost is Jesus Christ. In other words, their revelation was there's only one person in the Godhead, and that's Jesus Christ. That doctrine is still prevalent in our land today. It's even prevalent in Newark, Ohio. They also vehemently oppose the doctrine of the Trinity, claiming that it's of human origin. The argument became so heated, the controversy and the explosive and the split is still growing over this very thing. So I want to say we don't have any hatred in our heart towards anybody that would disagree with us. We're not up here talking about personalities. We're talking about a doctrine, and want to clarify it by the word of God. We believe that the Bible teaches one God manifested in three persons: God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. There's not just one person, there's three persons in the Godhead. The ideal of one God in three persons, three in one, is a concept that many people have a difficulty getting their heads around. The Jesus only people teach that Christ is the Father, he's the Son, and he's the Holy Ghost, and his name is Jesus. And if you're around them, I never hear them say, "Dear Heavenly Father." I never hear them say, "God." They address all their prayers, "Dear Jesus." I believe we can provide proper evidence from the Word of God that this is not the case as the Jesus-only people are teaching. But we can find, according to the Bible, this is an erroneous doctrine, and it is not in accordance with the Word of God. Yes, there's only one God. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 2 and verse number 5, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus." The scriptures do state that there is one God. But the word "one" relates to unity as well as number. For instance, the Bible says in 1 John 5:7, "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are" what? "One." And yet there are three distinct persons: the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. The three are spoken of in a number of scriptures and treated individually in the scriptures. There's one God the Father, one Lord Jesus Christ, and one Holy Ghost. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 8 and verse number 6, but unto us there's one God the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus, by whom are all things, and we by him. The Bible also says in Ephesians 4 and verse number 3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. For there's one body, one Spirit, even as you're called in one calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. Thus there are three separate persons in divine individually and divine plurality. In the Bible, the Father is called God, 1 Corinthians 8:6. But to us there's but one God, the Father, of whom all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. The Son is also called God. In Isaiah 9:6, the Bible says, "For unto us a child is born." Who was that? Jesus Christ. "Unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulders. And his name shall be called Wonderful, the Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." The Holy Spirit is called God. Acts 5:3, "But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost?" All right, let's read on. "And to keep back part of the price of the land, whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thy heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God." Individually, each is called God. Collectively, they are spoken of as one God because of their perfect unity. The word God can be used either in singular or plural, like sheep. You don't say, "How many sheep you got?" You say, "How many sheep do you have?" Everything that could pertain to God collectively could also equally apply to each member of the Godhead as individuals. However, there's some particulars which relate to each person of the deity as in position and office and work, and could not be attributed to either the other members of the Godhead. Let's think about the names of God prove plurality of persons. The Hebrew word translated God in the book of Genesis, the first chapter and verse number 1, also in more than 2,700 other places in the Old Testament, is a uniplural noun, which means more than one. Now, Jesus is not the Father. Amen. The Holy Spirit is not Jesus or the Father. The Holy Spirit is another. He is both from the Father and from the Son. John 5:32, there is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witness of me is true. So that the Holy Ghost could come, it was necessary that Jesus go away. And that's all explained very clearly in the book of St. John, the 14th and 15th and 16th chapter. All right. We got 21 objections to this teaching. Somebody said, oh, that's going to take forever. We're going to put it in high gear and try to go through this, okay? It won't take that long. By the help of God. We want to prove to you, because you're going to come in contact with people, and we need to have some answers. I'm going to give you some good, solid scriptures to prove that there's three distinct persons in the Godhead. The Father is greater than Jesus. Objection number one. John 14, 28. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you love me, you would rejoice because I said I go to my Father, for my Father is greater than I. They're not the same person. If they are the same person, how could he be greater than himself? While he was here on earth, he was limited to a physical body. Objection number two. Christ was only in the image of God. Colossians 1:14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creation. Objection number three. The Father and the Son can't be the same person because the Father judgeth no man but the Son. John 5:22, for the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. That also lines up with the book of Acts, the 17th chapter and verse number 30, where he said, at the times of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness. How? By that man who he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men that he raised him from the dead. Objection number four. There were two witnesses. I know we believe, and it's true, the two witnesses is the Word and the Spirit. But I want you to notice, he's dealing with this in a different way here. In John 8, verse number 17, it is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. Now listen, I am one that beareth witness of myself, that's Jesus. And the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. They can't be the same person because they both were a witness. Here Jesus shows that he, the Father, must be two entities, or else how could he truly be to be two witnesses? Objection number five. God cannot be tempted, yet Jesus was tempted in all points like as we are. They're two people, two distinct persons. James 1:13, let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. Objection number six, Jesus was on earth while his Father was in heaven. Therefore, they cannot be the same person as the Jesus-only people teach. Matthew 6, 9, in this manner, therefore, pray ye. Where was Jesus at this time? Down here on earth. He said, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Jesus was on earth. The Father was in heaven. Objection number seven. Jesus did not know when the end of time would come, but the Father did. Mark 13:32, but of that day, and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither is the Son, but the Father. How can it be the same person? Objection number eight. All three persons of the Godhead was present at Christ's baptismal. All three of them was there. Isn't that wonderful? Matthew 3, verse number 16, and Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were open unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God. Here's Jesus coming out of the water, and he saw the Spirit of God descended like a dove and lightened upon him. And to beat it all, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. In the baptism of Jesus, we see the Father speaking out of heaven, the Spirit descending upon Christ in the form of a dove, and Jesus is coming out of the water. Three persons. Objection number nine. God and Jesus is not the same person because Jesus is seated at the right hand of God. Acts 7, verse number 55, but he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God. And Jesus, where's he at? Standing on the right hand of God. And said, behold, I see the heavens open, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with loud voices and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witness laid down their clothes at the young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon the name of God, saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Stephen's final experience upon this earth as they stoned him to death was to gaze up in heaven and see the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. Don't tell me they're just one person. Don't come to me with this Jesus only stuff. Amen. Objection number 10. The Father sent Jesus. He didn't send himself. John 20, verse number 21 says, then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. He didn't send himself. His Father sent him. Objection number 11. If Jesus is the same person as God, he must have prayed to himself while he was here on this earth. John 11:41, then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. Amen. He wasn't praying to God down here, wasn't praying to himself. He's praying to his Father, which was in heaven. Amen. Jesus prayed to God the Father without praying to himself. In fact, this is precisely the continuing dialogue between the Father and the Son. Objection number 12. If God in Christ is the same person, how could God be the head of Christ? 1 Corinthians 11:3, but I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. You can't be the head of yourself. Objection number 13, How could the Son be the only begotten of the Father if he was the Father? John 1:14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten Father, full of grace and truth. The Son is the only begotten of the Father. Jesus was the only begotten of the Son. Hence, Jesus cannot be the Father, nor could he beget himself. Objection number 14. How could Jesus be the Father if no man has seen God? Thousands of people saw Jesus. John 1:18, no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Objection number 15, how could the Holy Spirit or the Son be God when the Holy Spirit, which is the Comforter, came from God? The Holy Ghost proceeded both from the Father and the Son. John 14:16, and I will pray the Father. Here's Jesus talking. I will pray the Father, and he shall give you what? Another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Objection number 16. Jesus said he would confess men before the Father, proving he, Jesus, was not the Father. Matthew 10:32, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. Objection number 17. The Jesus-only teaching can't be true because the plurality in the scriptures. Notice these scriptures. Genesis 1, verse number 26, and God said, let us. Let who? Let us. This is always in Genesis 1:26. He wasn't talking about Adam. God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let him have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. But then again in Genesis 3:22, and the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us to know good and evil. Now lest he put forth his hand and take also the tree of life and eat and live forever. Again, in Psalms 110, verse number 1, this is what it says. A Psalm of David, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Two lords sit side by side. Again in Genesis 11:7, go to, let us go down there and confound their language that they be not understand one another's speech. Objection number 18. The Jesus only people err when they try to reduce the Trinity to a mathematical formula. They try to make fun of us who believe in the Trinity, and they try to make light by saying, yeah, you got three gods and I got one. They say, see, 1 + 1 + 1 = 3. Well, that's just a smokescreen. Who says you have to add the persons of the Godhead? Won't you multiply them? 1 × 1 × 1 = 1. That just shows the futility of trying to reduce God to numbers on a piece of paper. When the doctrine of the Trinity is properly formulated, it lays equal stress on both sides of the biblical evidence one God eternally existed in three persons. Objection number 19. Another serious error that the Jesus-only people have made is to think that the Father become the Son and then the Son become the Holy Ghost. Contrary to what they're saying, the passages that we've already looked at teach us that God has always been God, and there's always been three persons in the Godhead. There's never a time when one of the persons of the Godhead did not exist. Objection number 20. With the Jesus only teaching, sometimes the personhead, the personhood of the Father and the Son is appreciated, but the personhood of the Holy Spirit is neglected. They talk about Jesus a lot, they talk about the Father every once in a while, but they say very little about the Holy Ghost. John 14:26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your members. Sometimes the Spirit among this movement is treated like a force rather than a person. But the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, is not a thing, it's not an it, it's a person. Hebrews 3:7, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you hear his voice, amen. Each person of the Godhead is fully God. If God is three persons, does that mean each person is one third God? Does the Trinity mean that God is divided into three parts? The doctrine of the Trinity does not divide God into three parts. The Bible is clear that all three persons are each 100% God, not one third percent God. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, each are fully God. Colossians 2:9, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So we should not think of God as a piece of pie cut in three pieces, each representing a person. This would make each person less than fully God. Rather, the being of each person is equal to the whole being of God. Objection number 21, this is the one you've been looking for. If the Father and the Son are the same person, why did he make a distinction in 1 John? 1 John 1:3, that which we have heard, seen and heard and declare unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. Truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. How is God one? One in essence. So what do we have? Jesus is God, the Holy Ghost is God, and the Father is God. It's hard to find an illustration for the Godhead. Any illustration you can use falls short. But my name is Larry Dishman. I'm a husband to Sharon. I'm a father to 8 children. I'm also an evangelist, but I'm one person. Amen. Actually, I'm one person, but I'm also three, just like you, body, soul, and spirit. Amen. How is God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Ghost one? The same way that you and I are to be one. All right. Brother Keith, Brother Sterlucky, come on, brother. I want those brothers to come right here and stand. While they're coming, John 17:11, now I'm no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I'm come to thee, Holy Father. Keep to thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one. God does not want, come on, brother, I'm sorry. God does not want these three brothers to become one individual. Now, I understand you've got an app on your phone. You can put these three together and they kind of look all, you know, you kind of got one of their noses and their eyes and you put them, try to put them all together. But God's not interested in that. Thank you, brothers. God don't want these three brothers to become one individual. He wants us to be one like him and the Father's one. Not one person, but one in spirit. Amen. Over 80 times in the Word of God, Jesus affirmed that he was not the Father, nor was he the only person in the Godhead. When it comes to the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, they're united in substance. There's never any disagreement. There's never any conflict. There's never any division. Amen. And this doctrine of Jesus only is a doctrine that does not line up with the Word of God. Some said, I just can't understand, though, that you said these three are one. Well, not long ago, I happened to be here when Brother Roger Dechter and Sister Haleen got married. Many of you was here. Amen. And what happened when they got married? What does the Bible say? When two people get married, they become one. Not one individual. Amen. They're still two distinct persons. Amen. Because I see Sister Haleen back there, and Brother Decker must be back in the office or somewhere. They're not one person. Amen. Something happens in the act of marriage that creates a new entity, a new being that was not there before. Two persons are still individuals and unique, and yet they're united in a one flesh relationship according to the Word of God. Amen. They are but two, but they're also one. That's why the Christian marriage is the best to illustrate the very nature of God. That's why Paul used it in this way. I want to close the sermon tonight by reading the scripture in 2 Corinthians 13, verse number 14. Listen, how good. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. There, we got all three. Isn't that sweet? Amen. I'm glad I've got all three of them. Amen. I'm glad you just don't get one of them or two of them. You got to wait a month or two to get the other one. When you get one, you get them all. Amen. Someone has said this doctrine might be hard to explain. You'll lose your mind trying to explain it, and you'll lose your soul if you try to deny it. All three persons of the Godhead is involved when you get saved. Night I got saved, all three persons of the Godhead was involved. The Holy Ghost was drawing me. The Holy Ghost was dealing with my heart. That's what it does. It convicts men of sin. The Bible says if the Spirit of God does not draw, you cannot come. And it was God that gave the Son. What a sacrifice. That he gave his only begotten Son. But it was the Son that gave his life. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Thank God for the Father. Thank God for the Son. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Let's stand. If you do not know him, tonight would be a good time to get to know him. He'd like to go home with you. He'd like to take up his abode with you while we sang the song. God bless you.